Hallelujah. 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 Father God, you're perfect in all of your ways. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to come and be in the midst of worshiping you today. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for wrapping your loving arms around us, Lord God, and caring for us and taking care of us. Now, Lord God, as we continue worshiping, Lord God, hallelujah, in your word today, Lord, let your word hit the hearts of your people in a place where they're at, Lord God. Let their eyes be open and their ears attentive and sensitive to what you're trying to tell them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We totally surrender everything to you, Lord God. Now, Lord God, have your way today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, music team, this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. You know the songs, hallelujah. The songs that we sung this morning reminded me of the fact that many folks confessing salvation really don't have a clue of what the reality of this thing is really all about. Last week, we started talking about debt-free living. Hallelujah. How many of you want to live debt-free? Amen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. But I'm convinced that many of us just really don't understand what it's all about. So we keep doing things based upon who we used to be. But I want to let you know it's time now. It's time to change. It's time to move into the fullness of what comes with your salvation this morning. Do you agree with me on that?
Amen.
It's time to walk in the fullness of this thing. God is a good God all the time. We come to church on Sunday. That's what Christians worship on Sunday, basically to do three things. First of all, and above all, to worship our God. Secondly, we come to fellowship one with the other. We really do. It's, you know, people that we don't see that often during the week, so we come to fellowship. And thirdly, for this church, we come to be discipled.
Amen.
So that we may grow. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I never thought of it like this before, but this is a discipling church.
Amen.
You cannot, let me tell you something, you cannot stay here for any length of time, hallelujah, and live in lack.
Amen.
You can't do it. Not because of who your pastor is, hallelujah, or anybody else in the church, but who God is and the purpose that he has for us. Now, today I want to continue talking a little bit about debt-free living, but before I get into part two of this thing, I want to just get you on the same wavelength that I'm on right now. If you can imagine maybe an 8-year-old boy, you know, in his natural family of father and mother, but they treat him badly. They have problems themselves. And they treat him badly, you know. I mean, most of the time they don't really feed him. And he has to go out and, you know, kind of get things for himself. And, you know, he's around all kinds of stuff and they just neglect him. They just neglect him, and consequently, he winds up raising himself, making decisions for himself that an 8-year-old shouldn't have to make. But if you could imagine with me also, that same child, listen to me now, that same child being adopted by a good family, a godly family, a wealthy family, a family that have more than enough, amen? Maybe they got millions, maybe they got billions. It don't really matter, but the fact is they got more than enough. And they take that child into their home. How many of you know, listen, how many of you know that it's going to take a while for that child's thinking to change? That child's going to still be trying to creep up early, late at night when people are asleep trying to go in the refrigerator.
Amen.
That child's still going to think that they're going to have to go out and hustle for themselves to get what they need. That child that child going to be thinking, well, I better be protected. I better protect myself, and I better protect myself from these new parents, because the old ones, you know, they slap me around every chance that they get, and when things aren't going right for them, so I better protect myself. That's the old way of thinking. And for a lot of us as confessing Christians, we're the same way as this 8-year-old boy. The devil has done us so bad and had us do so many stupid things that we think now that we better stay in control, like we were in control prior to being saved. But I want to let you know here today, listen, if you're confessing salvation, if you've gotten saved, you've joined a whole new family. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now your new father that you got, hallelujah, listen to me, he won't beat you. He'll just love you, keep his loving arms around you.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on now. He won't let you go hungry. He won't let you go naked.
Amen.
He won't let you even be embarrassed if you follow him.
Thank you, Jesus.
He'll take care of all your needs.
Amen.
So now you don't have to stay up all night long as an 8-year-old or whatever. You know, and into God's eyes, that's who we are. We're just still little children.
Come on.
You don't have to stay up all night trying to figure out how your next day going to turn out, what you're going to do to survive. I want to let you know that, listen, your Heavenly Father's got it. He's got it. Amen? He's got it. And you can let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Well, you say, Pastor, that's not responsible. I'm in charge of this. No, let me tell you something. You're not in charge of anything. Not as a child of God. Not as a child of God. Amen? Not as a child of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want no 8-year-old getting up in the morning and say, let me go in the freezer, let me do this, and let me cook so we can all eat. No. So, preacher, what would you want an 8-year-old child to do? Whatever I tell them to do. Gets quiet in here now. You know at 8 years old, he's going to stay up and watch whatever's on there till 2, 3, or 4 o'clock in the morning. No, that won't happen at my house. I would want that 8-year-old to do whatever I tell them to do. Can I get a witness to that?
Amen.
But I don't know why we think God is so different. You say, but I'm grown. Yeah, but to God's eyes, you're still a little child. And you've got a new father. So what should I do, preacher? Whatever God tell you to do.
That's right. Amen.
No more, no less. Does that make sense to anybody here today? I have to share that, which is I start talking about God's pattern for personal provision. See, you've got a new home. You've got a new father. You've got a new way of living. Hallelujah. Joshua said, listen, choose you today who you're going to serve. As for me and my household, you know those scriptures. Amen. We're going to serve the Lord. What does that mean? We're going to do whatever he tell me to do. We're going to tell me, come on now. See, that's the part that we leave out. That's the part that we leave out when we tell people we're confessing Christians, you know. The part that says, listen, I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. Amen. If you're single and you want to get married, who are you going to marry? Whoever God tells me to marry. If you get saved and you got to go to a local church, what local church you going to go to?
Whatever
church God tells. I know this sounds strange to a lot of people. We grew up in the same culture, so I understand that. But one of the things that we need to be taught early in this walk with life, hallelujah, is that we are not in control anymore.
Amen.
Amen? Whatever God chooses for you, whatever God tells you to do, it's always in your best interest. You can't see. None of us can see what God sees. None of us. None of us. None of us. None of us. You know, when my wife died, and, you know, I get trying to just jump back in my old habit. I'm looking around to see which one of these ladies I'm going to get. Almost got myself messed up. And I tell you, I had to come to my senses. I said, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute, God. I can't keep living like I used to live. I can't keep choosing people like I used to choose people. You know when I told God, listen to me. Now, I don't know why I'm sharing this with you today. Maybe you need to hear this. I told God, I said, look, I ain't going looking for no more ladies. None. Amen. None. Not one. Am I going to ever go looking for again? I said, God, if you want me to have one, you bring me one. And then he brought Sister Eva to a husky. He did. You heard my story. One Saturday, she came back from Durham. Hadn't been living here since I've been here. Hadn't been living here. As a matter of fact, God told me in April of 86 to come to a husky. In April of 86, he told Sister Eva to leave a husky. You think that's a coincidence? I don't think so. But one Saturday she came back to visit her family and some friends or whatever she came back for. And she went bowling with some other ladies that she knew in that church. And I went with them. I don't normally go with the singles at that time because most of them were a little younger than me. So I don't normally run with them. But I went with them and I just, maybe as a chaperone, whatever. But I went bowling with them. And as I was bowling, God says, that's the one I want you to have.
Amen.
We don't understand this thing because of our culture, because of what way we were brought up, the way we think. But I heard God, listen, and I know his voice. I know his voice. Hallelujah. And that was a Saturday. And I think Sister Eva came to our church on Sunday. And Monday, I called her in Durham. And basically says, you're the one.
Amen. You're ready to get mad.
What did I tell you on that phone, Sister Eva? I know you like to repeat it. What did I tell you on that phone? That's all right.
You told me that you liked me.
All right.
And how did I feel about you?
Amen.
I came right out, you know, I was very shy. And I came right out and said, that's the Lord help me. I like you too.
Amen. My point is that God's going to take care of us.
Yes,
he's going to give us whatever we need. Yes. Whatever.
Yes.
But we're still in the old mindset. I got to do it. I got to take care. No. No, you do what God tells you to do. If you need a job, God will give you a job.
Amen.
If you need a spouse, God will give you a spouse.
Yes.
Hello? If you need some extra finances, God will give you some extra finances. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
It's just time to start doing things God's way, folks. That's the whole gist of what I'm going to share with you this morning. It is time for us to wake up, not grow up, but wake up to who we are and who our Father is and what this whole thing is all about. It's time for you and I to start doing things God's way. Let me take you to Isaiah 55. I think they put it on the screen a minute ago. And starting with verse 6, this was Isaiah says to us. He says, seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now look at verse 8. This is the part that I want you to understand. And if you've got a Bible, you need to underline it, whether it's a paper Bible or a media Bible, underline it. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you, you could be an Advent, a Walmart shopper. Listen, when you go on your way to Walmart and the Holy Spirit tell you to go to Piggly Wiggly, you better turn around.
Amen.
Why? Because your ways are not God's ways. You don't know why he's trying to get you to Piggly Wiggly. Says the Lord, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain come down and the snow from heaven and return it not thither, but does what? But water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, last verse. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. In other words, God has said, if I said it, that's a wrap.
Amen.
Amen? If I've said it, that's a wrap. It's done. It's a done deal. If God say you're going to be free from a situation, that's a wrap. Let me read that again in verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But what? But it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We better start trusting God. We better start doing what God say do. Does anybody understand what I'm saying here today? Listen, you're born again. Hallelujah, you're a new person, but you've got a new father. Amen? And in his eyesight, we're just like little 8, little 5, little 6, little 7-year-old children. In his eyesight. In his eyesight. So we better get that mindset that, listen, I'm waiting to hear the voice of God. I'm waiting to hear the direction of God. I want to know what God wants me to do next in this particular situation. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. Now, last week, we talked about God's pattern for personal provision. Not for personal provisions, rather, but for the church. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. He's a good God all the time. I wonder what would happen if we all woke up to the reality that we are not who we used to be. Amen. Some of us used to be beggars. Hallelujah. The good news is you don't have to beg anymore. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
You don't have to beg anymore. You don't have to stay up all night long wondering how the next meal or the next bill going to be paid. You don't have to do that anymore. That ought to be good news to you. Amen?
Amen.
That ought to be good news to you. Let it go. But the reality is we've had control of it for so long. We don't even imagine ourselves not making the decisions that we're making. God will make them for you, but you got to stay close enough to him to hear his voice.
Amen.
Does that make sense to anybody? Hallelujah. I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been on both sides of this thing. And I'm telling you, being on the side where you hear and obey what God's telling you to do is much, much better. Much better. Hallelujah. Last week, we did talk about God's pattern for funding his ministry. We talked about that. And in summary, he says it's a five-step pattern, and it goes like this. Step one, the first thing God does when he wants to do something in the ministry is he blesses his people with resources.
Amen.
So you don't have to figure out how you're going to go out and raise some money. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
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 God's a good God. We started off that way, 30 years ago doing that. That's all we needed to do. That's all we knew to do. And we needed some extra money. We raised some money doing a couple things. And then God just had to grab me in the collar and say, "What are you doing? I'm raising money. I'm doing a good job of raising money." And the question came back to you, raising money for who? Well, the only real answer is for that. Is I'm raising money for me. Because God don't need me to raise money for him. Does that make sense?
Amen.
He got enough. He got enough in every sense. We never had to do that, no matter what the needs are. But the very first step that God takes when he wants to do something through the ministry is he gives the resources to the people. He put it in your hands. And the second step is that then he tells you what to do. A ministry needs arrive. And the third step is he impresses you to give. Now he's given you something, and then he's told you what he needs you to do in the ministry. Hallelujah. And now he's impressing us to give, those who give. That's the reason why we as church and as Christians, we don't never have to beg folks. Beg them for what? I don't know what God has given you. God may have given you an extra $30,000 to sow into the ministry. I don't know that. But maybe you only got $2.50 to sow into the ministry. I don't know that either. So what God has to do, he impresses us to give to the ministry. Step four, come on. Step four, when everybody does what they're supposed to do, the need is met. It's met. It's just met. And that last step, step five, is God gets the praise. That's how God funds his ministry in the natural. Amen? So when you see people out there begging and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and we need $10 more, we need $6.50 more, you know that's not God directed. Why would God need $10 more? Does that make sense to anybody? Hello? Maybe God has given people resources and they won't let it go because they think they won't get some more. See, if you knew what I knew about finances, you'd be glad when an opportunity comes from God to give. Because when you give, listen, directed by God, more is going to come. And a lot more than you gave. That's the way it always works. That's why I'm constantly waiting for God to just give or to tell me to give. I give freely. I don't have a problem with that. If I've got it and you tell me to give it, I'd be glad of that because I understand his principles. I understand his principles. But what I want to do today is not look again at how God funds his personal ministry. We want to look at God's pattern for personal provisions. What's his pattern for giving to you? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you like to live a lifestyle where you have more than enough? Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen, get those numbers out of your mind. You know? We see people talk about numbers. You know, we just give billions of dollars away to other countries. We hear those numbers, you know, thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions and billions and trillions. Hallelujah. We hear those numbers, and when somebody asks, you know, what do you want? You'd be saying, I want billions, I want millions. Well, listen, we don't necessarily need millions. I don't know what you need. But most of the time, we don't necessarily need millions or billions for what we're doing here on planet Earth. You and I, most of us. Most of us. Here again, I don't know what God is doing with you or through you in your personal life, but the reality is most of us don't need millions. All right? There's nothing wrong with having millions. But I tell you what all of us need, we all need a lifestyle where we got more than enough. Can I get an agreement on that? And that's what God's lifestyle wants your lifestyle to be, to where you have more, hallelujah, more than enough. I remember the time when, you're sitting at a dining room table and you're trying to figure out all these bills and this. That's history for us. That's history. I don't worry about bills. You know, bills, what? Bills. Don't worry about that stuff. Not because I'm all of that, but because God has shown, hallelujah, his presence in our lives. Amen? Amen? Of course, listen, those days of wondering whether or not you've got enough. And many of you sitting in here today know what I'm talking about. You don't worry about whether or not you've got enough. You know you got enough. Amen. You know you got enough. As a matter of fact, you've got more than enough. More than enough. And that's how God wants you to live. Not so that you can hold your head up and be snooty or snotty to somebody. Hallelujah. But so that you can sleep at night. Amen. Not worry about bills or more than enough. Think about it for a moment right now. Just right now. What is it you need here on planet Earth? What do you need in the natural? In the natural, what do you need? Now, you don't have to answer that, but just think about it for a moment. Is it clothes that you need? Is it automobiles that you need? Is it housing that you need? Is it food that you need? What is it that you need if there is a real need? I want you to begin to see those needs met and exceeded. Met and exceeded. God wants to take care of everything we need. That's his goal as his children. Don't you want to do the same thing for your children? When your children were small and they were not adults out of your house, they were little children, didn't you want to give them all that you thought that they need?
Amen.
Can I get an amen on that? There's nothing worse than seeing your 2 or 3 or 4 year old child sitting up there crying because they're hungry. No, not in my house. That ain't going to happen.
Amen.
Not in your house either.
Amen.
So why do we think God wants to operate his house that way? God said, no.
Amen.
No. That's not what I got for you. Let me share a couple scriptures with you. See, God provides for everything we need, just like a loving father. But we've got to get that mindset where we understand that, and we've got to take our hands off of it. We've got Christians doing all kinds of ungodly things just so they can get some more resources into their lives. God said, I never told you to do that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Do you believe the word today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I got about 4 or 5, maybe 24 or 25 books on my shelves at home. See, I thought about bringing one of those books in and read to you. And the Holy Spirit said, don't you dare do that, boy. The only book you need is the word of God.
Amen.
That's all you need. And in the word of God, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, but my God, everybody say my God. But my God shall supply, how many of your needs? All your needs according to his riches in glory. You think he going to run out? See, when the need presents itself, you ought to get happy. You ought to get happy because you know what your dad is getting ready to do. He's getting ready to take care of that need. Hallelujah. God provides through his people through natural and supernatural means. And I want to share with you several examples of that from the Bible. No other book but the Bible. Hallelujah. If it takes supernatural means to do it, he'll do it. If he can just do it with the natural stuff around you, he'll do that too. First of all, let me take you back to Adam and Eve. Just a couple of verses here. Genesis chapter 8, verse 8 and 9 says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, verse 9, and out of the ground, so you and I can't do that, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. God's always, listen, he always going to provide the resources. The resources are already there because he's already provided for you, whatever it is you need. But if you're still using your old methods to try to get the resources, you're going to have some issues in your life. You're going to have some issues in your life. That same chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says this. Look at God providing naturally. He says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freest eat. Now, we know that there was an exception, he told him a little bit later. But we see God providing. God knew that Adam and Eve needed some food. He knew that, and he knew that they didn't just want to eat one thing. How would you like to eat grits 3 times a day for the next 30 years and only grits? He said, no, God, got to be something better than this. Nothing wrong with grits, but now come on now, 3 times a day, every day. Come on. Got to be something different. So God made a whole variety of stuff for man. And he did something supernatural for the Israelites in the wilderness. Remember that story? Can't go back to all those scriptures. Remember that story when he had delivered them, how they had been slaves for over 400 years to the Egyptians, and God freed them? But when he freed them, he had to take care of them. I want to take you now to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. talking about the Israelites and to the Israelites in the desert, in the wilderness. He says, for the Lord thy God has blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee. Thou hast lacked what? Nothing. 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 Wouldn't that be nice when you die? They put it on your tombstone, on your whatever that thing is down there. They put it on the ground and says, this person lacked nothing. This person lacked nothing. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. God will give you so much. Let me tell you something. You're going to have to think about what you want next. Because that God is just that generous. And we see a pattern of that over and over and over. Hallelujah. And just like these Israelites, God wants you to have a testimony that you lack nothing. Nothing. As a child of God, if you've been saved, listen, for any length of time, 5 years, maybe 6 years, 10 years, whatever, if you've been saved for that length of time and you're still struggling, chances are something's wrong here. And the thing that's probably wrong, now I'm not saying it is wrong, but the thing that's probably wrong is that you doing things your way. You're doing things your way. Not even going to the Father, not even asking him his way in that particular situation. So you stay in that same situation. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for people to be saved. Hallelujah. Listen to me now. And not have more than enough of what they need. Once again, everybody don't need $1 million. Amen. Everybody don't even need $100,000. But you shouldn't be beggars. You shouldn't have to stay up at night wondering about paying somebody's bill off or whatever. That's not the lifestyle that he wants for you. And when it comes to the supernatural, he'll do the supernatural. Remember Elijah? When Elijah was running, hallelujah, scared, running, and God sent him by the brook. Let me take you to 1 Kings, and I can't go through all these scriptures, just to point out a fact. And listen to what God did for him. He says, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 6. And the ravens brought Elijah, a raven, brought a raven. Hallelujah, I keep saying that. And the ravens brought, that's more than one, brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brooks. Wow. When have you ever seen a bird bringing people bread and meat? But that's what was necessary for this situation. He's out there in the desert, nothing out there but the brook. He's got to eat. He's tired. He's exhausted. So God used the ravens, the birds. Hallelujah. Now, if God will do that for Elijah, listen to me now. Listen to me. Elijah was called, come on now, but he wasn't saved like us. If God would do that for Elijah, don't you know God's going to do more than that for us? Amen. God wants us to be an example to the world of how his children live and who his children are. Not so that we can show off anything. That's not the purpose. It's not the purpose. Because with his giving, humility should come. Not bragging or anything like that. But people need to see. Folks do see. If you're always begging folks all the time, they know you ain't got nothing. You don't have to tell them that. You don't have to tell them, you don't have to tell folks that. Are you with me? You don't have to tell folks that. They can see. They can see with their own eyes. Hallelujah. It's time to do things God's way, folks. Look at somebody and tell them that. It's time to do things God's way. Look at somebody else and tell them that. It's time to do things God's way. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time, folks. Amen. God wants us to be walking miracles, walking testimonies. Amen. Walking testimonies. God is there to fulfill your every need, whether it's social, whether it's spiritual, whether it's financial, whether it's physical. He's there. Hallelujah. To take care of your health. What do you need? Do you need to be healed? What do you need? Whatever it is you need, God is there to take care of it for you. You just got to believe him. What I really want to try to get to today is three steps for ensuring God's provision in your life. There's three things that you can do to make sure that God's provision is with you and in your life. Three things that you can do to make absolutely sure that you always have more than enough. Always have more than enough. I'm telling you, this is like, to me, I'm saying, Lord, this is kindergarten stuff. You should have told us that day one. You should have just beat it in us and beat it in us and beat it in us till we understood. But we get saved, and I believe genuinely most of us get saved that say they're saved, you know, but we still live in that same life as if we got the old parents we used to have, all right, which was the devil, amen, at that time. We're still doing things his way. We're still trying to be in control, amen. Isn't that the same lie he told Eve? Did God really say that? You know the story. What was he trying to do? Trying to make her take things in her own hands. What did she do? Took things in her own hands. And she did what God told her not to do. And you and I are dealing with that today. You know what God just told me? God said, because we won't change our way, listen to me. Just like Eve's action affected all of us today, our actions are going to affect our children, our grandchildren, amen, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. Are you with me? It's time for somebody to rise up and say, look, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to stop getting frustrated because I can't have things my way. I'm going to stop making these decisions that God needs to make. Somebody say amen to that. Three things you can do, and I'm going to end this sermon with this. Three things that you can do to ensure God's provision in your life. The first thing you need to do, you need to choose your God. Many of us are still worshiping the God of money. Now, you would never put it in that way. Come on. People have worshiped the God of money, their mindset is, well, if I could just have more money, life would be better. Hallelujah. No, it's not more money you need. Come on now. It's more God you need. That's what you need. That's exactly what you need. You have to be careful because when you start worshiping money, you may get to the point where you'll do anything for money, including lying and cheating and maybe some other things as well. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 24. This is what it says. No man, everybody say no man.
No man.
No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he made a statement. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Hallelujah. See, when he's talking about mammon, he's really talking about material things. He's talking about money. He's talking about other things that puts us up in this world. You can't serve both. See, let me get off sidetrack a little bit. If you only understood this thing, I've been saved now 40 years, 44 years, since 1980, be 44 years this year. Listen to me. And one of the things we don't understand is the whole picture of this thing. Now, I say I wasn't going to keep repeating this, but you need to understand the big picture. What God told Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before you were in your mama's womb. And that's a powerful statement. Amen. If he knew Jeremiah before he was in his mother's womb, then Jeremiah existed before he was in his mama's womb. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
I often wonder, how can God tell Saul, King Saul in the Bible, 20 years before David was born, God told Saul, I have chosen a man to replace you. And we know who the replacement was, but the boy wasn't even born yet. How? You say, preacher, what am I supposed to get out of that? Well, if God said that he knew Jeremiah before he was in his mother's womb, and then John, if God could prophesy about David's existence 20 years before he was born, then chances are he knew you before you were in your mama's womb. Amen? And he chooses a set of parents. Now, I'm just telling you what I think. Amen. Based upon the scriptures that I read. So he chooses a mom and a pop, because that's the way we got to come. And he brings you forward with a plan, for a plan and a purpose. We all come here with a purpose. Amen. We all come here with a purpose. I'm believing that most of us leave here never achieving that purpose. Amen. And the reality of this whole thing, I'm off subject here a little bit, but just ride with me. The reality of this thing is that we don't become sensitive enough to the voice of God to know where we're going and what the next step is until we give our lives to him, until we get saved, until we become a born-again creature. Amen. It doesn't happen then. But then, once you become born again, what is supposed to happen is that you're supposed to be led, come on, by God and God's Spirit. But if people don't teach us these things, all this stuff is a religious experience for us. We're supposed to be led by God every day. But because we're still making these old decisions, the old way we did before, hallelujah, we wind up delaying our purpose, delaying our getting into the place where we need to be. God has a plan for purpose for each and every one of us. Amen. Each, I don't care how far off the track you have gotten, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God's big enough to get you back on track. Amen. He's big enough to do, ha! Oh, yes, hallelujah. He's big enough to do that. Can I get an amen on this thing? Amen. I got to share some more about that with you a little bit later on, but you just need to have your eyes open to the big picture. God knows, look, God knows the city he wants you to live in. He knows the church he wants you to go to. Come on, he knows the job he wants you to have. He knows the friends you want. He wants you to accumulate. He knows it. All you got to do is follow what? The peace. Follow the peace. That's a whole different message. So God tells us in Matthew 6:24, choose who you're going to serve. Because you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and stuff. To serve mammon means, or to serve money means, we place our trust and faith in it. A lot of us think, well, if I just had more money. No. That's not the answer. Serving money means also we look to it for our ultimate security and happiness. God can make you just as secure, listen to me now, with $5 a week. He can do it. He can do it. I've seen some miracles here in this last 30 years right here in this church. Right here. I've seen, listen to me now, I've seen God give people houses. Amen. I've seen God give people cars. I've seen God give people clothes. Yes, Lord. I've seen God give people money. Yes, Lord. God can do it. Serving money means we expect money to guarantee our future, and it cannot. Serving money means we desire it more than God's righteousness and his kingdom. So the first step in assuring God's provision in your life is you got to choose your God. Well, preacher, I'm saved. Come on now. You got to choose your God. Who's going to be the God of your life? Is it going to be God or is it going to be mammon? Amen. Are you going to chase money? Come on now. I guarantee you chase God, you're going to find something good. you're going to find something that money can't. God can take your present situation, whatever it is, and give you a lifestyle of a millionaire without the $1 million. I know everybody don't believe that. God is a good God all the time. So the first step is you've got to choose your God. Look at somebody and tell them that. Choose your God, please. Choose him. Because whoever you choose, that's who you need to follow. That's who you need to follow. God is a good God all the time. And God will never run out of money. Never run out of money. It's just like a good parent. Let me tell you, when you're raising children and children have a need, look, the money just show up. Anybody ever raised children? All of a sudden they got to graduate. They're talking about coming up with X number of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars. Day before, you were worried about how you're going to pay, you know, a $500 bill. But your child come up with a bill that it needs for school so that they can look good, hallelujah. Thousands of dollars, you say, yeah, and you just make it happen. That's how God is. God will make it happen all the time. So once again, the first step in assuring your provision, constant provision in God, is you got to choose your God. Who's going to be your God? Is your experience going to be your God? Is your education going to be your God? Is your job going to be your God? Is money going to be your God? Is prestige going to be your job, your God? Is your titles going to be your God? Choose your God. Now, I'm going to tell you now, that's a humbling thing for us because of the way we're raised, because of our culture. We all want to be somebody. Well, that's okay. Be somebody in God. Amen? Be somebody for God. Be God's child and let the world see it. Second step to assure your provision in the Lord is stop worrying about provisions. Look at somebody and tell them that again. Stop worrying about provisions. Stop worrying about provisions. Stop it. Stop it. Let me take you again to Matthew 6, verse 25. Just stop worrying. Stop worrying about it. The devil puts some stuff on your mind. You get to worry and get to crying. You can't think. You can't do nothing. You can't eat. You can't sleep. You can't do nothing. Stop. Stop. You either believe this thing or you don't. Now, if you don't believe it, go on and worry. Hallelujah. But I've never yet seen worry do anything for anybody that was good. Amen. Verse 25. Listen to what the scripture says. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life. Stop worrying. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you should drink, nor yet for your body, what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? That's clothes. Behold, he said, now I want you to do something for me. Behold, take a look at the birds of the air. For they sow not, I mean, they're not out there working in the field. Neither do they reap. Neither do they gather into barns. Yet, everybody say yet. Yet, yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Hallelujah. They don't even have a job. Hallelujah. How in the world they get to eat? They don't have no job. How they get to eat? God taking care of them. And then he says, are you not much better than these birds? Hallelujah. Come on now. It's time for us to wake up, folks. Wake up to this stuff. Stop settling for religious experiences. Stop it. Stop it. Amen. You get your right relationship, your relationship right with God, you're going to have all that you need and more. All that you need. Amen. There's some folks that could come into a church house and just sing you till you get happy. There's some preachers that are coming here. Let me tell you something now. They're going to make you shout all over the place. They're going to make you stand up and throw your wig off and all kinds of stuff. But that ain't going to help you a bit. None of that. None of that. I don't care how happy you get in that moment of time. None of that's going to take care of anything. You need the real deal, which is God. Amen? God will never let you down. Never. And then he says, And verse 27, he says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit, that's about an inch and a half, unto his stature? And then he says, why are you worried about clothes? Why are you taking thought about raiment, about clothes? Why are you worried about having enough clothes? He says, consider the lilies of the field, the flowers, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, everybody say, and yet, I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers. Wherefore, everybody say, wherefore? If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Ah! Ah! Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. He's a good God. I remember when we started this thing, I think Sister Eva had one good dress there, hallelujah. And her poor husband had one suit, hallelujah. You know, you got one suit, it gets shiny after a while. And we were just trying to do what God tells. We didn't really understand this thing. We just do whatever God kind of through. But as we just follow his will and did what he told us to do. Amen. Amen. Now every year we got to clean out the closet. Got to buy more suits. Amen. Got to buy more. Hallelujah. Got to buy. I'm always on Sister Eve. Why don't you get that stuff away so we can get some more in there. Amen. Amen. That wasn't our doing. That's my point. Are you with me? It wasn't our doing. Hallelujah. 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 I remember we used to go to a place and we'd be embarrassed. You know, with that one suit and one dress. Hallelujah. But we say, just hold your head up. I know God is telling us to do that. We're going to stand here. We're going to do it. Amen. We're going to believe God. Hallelujah. And one by one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Sister Eve would be asking me, Sister Eve would say, why don't you go buy me another closet to go in this room? And then she'd say, why don't you buy me another closet? I said, my God, Sister Eve, you can only put so many closets in this room. Got shoes piled up. Come on, help me now. Sister Eva say, leave me alone. That's not our doing. That's what I'm saying to you, Christians. Wake up. There's a God that want to bless you. So the first step is you choose your God. Hallelujah. God is a good God. And then the second step is you just stop worrying about this stuff. Hallelujah. Verse 31. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. All these things do the unsaved people worry about. Amen? You ain't got no business worrying about that. Amen? If you got an empty closet, you go in that empty closet and you speak to it. Amen? I say, God, I thank you, hallelujah, for the number of pieces, the number of pants, the number of dresses, the number of suits, whatever it is, speak to it. Yeah. Speak to it. And don't you dare let a doubt come in your mind as to how it's going to happen. It doesn't matter how it happened. It's beyond our understanding how it happens. You just want it to happen. Somebody say amen. Please. Hallelujah. He said, don't take no thought for that. In verse 32, he says, after all these things do the Gentile, the unsaved people, they go looking for. For your heavenly Father, this is the part I like, for your heavenly Father know that you have need of all these things. Amen. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Just stop worrying. Stop worrying. Just stop worrying. You know, growing up in the projects in New Orleans, you know, you're just surrounded with people that at the low end and economically. And, you know, and you develop a mindset after a while, after living in that environment, that mindset of just trying to survive. And God says you got to walk away from that mindset. You got to believe that I can and I will do that for you. I will do it for you. I will do it for you. Hallelujah. So first thing, choose your God. Amen. Choose your God. Sometimes God sends us to a church and we start worshiping the people in the church. We start worshiping the leaders. Amen? Hello? Those leaders are not your God. God may put them there to help guide you and direct you, but God is your God. Amen? God is a good God all the time. The third thing you need to do to ensure your provisions with God is to give priority to God's priorities. What do you mean? I mean, whatever's important to God need to be important to you. Verse 33 of that whole scripture says, but seek ye what? First the kingdom of God. Seek first what God wants to do and his righteousness and all these things. Whatever it is you want, whatever it is you need, whatever it is you think you need, all these things shall be added unto you. Ha ha, yay, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if God ever gives, if he gives this ministry a task, if he, and he normally, he's going to operate through the leader, no matter where you're at, he's going to operate through that leader. But if he gives that leader a task, he says, all right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and purchase this thing over here. Maybe it costs $25,000 or whatever, you know. If he tells me to do it, he's already put the money there. Are you with me? He's already, my job is just to communicate that to the people that God has placed there under me, you know. And then let God's work happen. God would not tell me to do that if he had not already provided that. He would not do that. He would not do that. That's why for 30 years there's never really been any pressure on any of our people for giving. Because now we understand that. We understand that. You know, God tells us to do it, it's already done. Amen. It's already done. That's why we're never going to be a begging church. Hello? Amen. Because God's not a beggar. That would be unfair to God to tell us to do a project or to do a certain thing and he hasn't given us the resource to do it. Amen. That would be unfair. If you agree to that, say amen. Amen. So it tells us to seek first two things, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we talk about the kingdom of God, listen, we must seek to have the rule and the power of God demonstrated in our lives and in our assembly. People got to see God operating through our lives and then through our church as the church moved forward. They've got to see God. I can tell you right now, listen, as a member of this community, a lot of people don't understand how you guys are moving. They really don't. And if you talk to anybody, they really don't have a clue. How they be saying, you guys got 3,000 people? No, we do not have 3,000 people. Amen? But we got God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But we got God. How you going to lose when you got God? Amen. We're only doing what God told us to do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. John 18:36 says, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. That's why we got to seek first the kingdom of God. God don't move like you and I have been moving all our lives. He don't move that way. It doesn't make us bad people. But we need to understand and we need to open our eyes. Listen, who our God is. And then he talks about seek first his righteousness. See, through the Holy Spirit, we must seek to obey commands of Christ. We got to do that. Possess Christ's righteousness. You and I have to possess that. We have to remain separated from the world. Now, when I say remain separated from the world, I'm saying that we've got no business doing what they're doing. That's not saying, God's not saying here, keep people away from you that's not saved. No. How in the world are they going to know about Christ? But listen to me. You shouldn't do what they're doing. Are you with me? You shouldn't do what they're doing. Hallelujah. You shouldn't do what. I'm saying these words and all these things coming through my mind. Amen? See, I told you before, there was a time when it wouldn't be no problem for me to walk into a bar and sit down and get drunk or drink or whatever. Listen, but if in over 40 years I really haven't been in a bar, but if God take me in the bar, hallelujah, I will just do whatever God tell me to do. And he's not going to tell me to do what the unsaved people are doing. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not going to do that. So that's what he's saying. He says just, you can't move like the world. You can't look. You can't sit around and get drunk with them and say, well, I'm just trying to witness to them. No, you're trying to get drunk. That's what you're trying to do. Amen? That's what that scripture says. Say, remain separate from the world and show Christ's love toward everybody. It's time to do things God's way, folks. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about being saved. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
I got to write me a book. I got to write a book. God's just done too much for me.
Amen.
And he's done a lot for you, too. You know he has.
Amen.
I got to write a book. Hallelujah. And let somebody know what God will do and can do. There's a whole bunch of books out there already about what God has done. But I got to let folks know, too. In every opportunity you get, don't beat people up. But when you get that opportunity, share what God has done for you. Share what he's doing for you. Let folks know, listen, that your God exists. This particular culture that